Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Helen Cousins to the broadcast. Helen is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Lincoln Trust Company, a role she's held since 2006. As part of the ownership team, she's led the transformation of the company into an analytical organization by implementing a business process management program encompassing business intelligence and workflow management for the entire organization. Prior to her current role, Helen was SVP and CIO of Dex Media Incorporated, where she led the enterprise implementation of new technology platforms. As a part of the executive team, she participated in what was, at the time, the second largest leveraged buyout in U.S. history, an IPO and subsequent sale of the company. Prior to joining Dex, Helen was SVP and corporate CIO at Sendint, where she was responsible for orchestrating one of the largest outsourcing deals with a major technology firm, as well as leading the IT due diligence and integration for several major acquisitions, which increased revenue by $15 billion. She's held several other executive positions managing global organizations, spending her first 25 years on Wall Street with top Fortune 100 and 500 firms. She's won various awards and recognitions for her accomplishments, including being named to CIO Magazine's prestigious CIO Hall of Fame in 2012. Helen graduated summa cum laude with a BS in Accounting and Economics from Fordham University and an MBA from Pace University. I recently caught up with Helen in Denver, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed her role on the board of her own company, her advice for other CIOs who wish to be considered board-ready, her implementation of business process management, and a variety of other topics.
The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com.
So Helen Cousins, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So Helen, I wondered if we could begin with your career journey to becoming CIO. You have a non-traditional path. You don't have an engineering degree. You grew up in an IT department. And moreover, you didn't have a lot of, at least female IT leaders to necessarily look up to. It isn't necessarily a field that's dominated by females. Can you tell us a bit about your path to the CIO role now that you've had that position multiple times over?
Sure. So I do have a pretty non-traditional path. My first job was right out of high school, and I was a receptionist for a small international branch of a domestic bank. And what I did is I always volunteered to learn what other departments were doing. We were very small. We were only about 30 people, so there was always somebody who was out and I could fill in. And because of this, I really learned how all of the departments interact together and how important it is as a task flows from one department to another department. And it really taught me to look not just at a task, but at the end-to-end process. And then as I started moving up, I decided I better go back to school. So I went back to school. I got my BS in Accounting and Economics. And then I went for an MBA in Computer Science. So I've never actually coded a line of code. I really got involved in IT as a project manager for a system implementation in one of the largest global banks because of my knowledge of the different areas in banking. Once that was successful and implemented, I soon found myself getting more and more responsibility until eventually when I left that company, I was running all of development for the international bank within the U.S. You mentioned about women. I was actually the only female VP at the time when I was there. So my career was really cast in IT from there, and since then I've held three CIO positions, first being as a corporate CIO in a large holding company in New York. My second was at a large Yellow Page company in Denver, and my third was at Lincoln Trust. At the time I joined them, they were Fiserv Investment Support Services.
I suppose coming to this role with such a diverse business background has been a particularly advantageous to you. A lot of peers of yours as CIOs have grown up exclusively in IT departments, beginning perhaps as programmers and working their way up the chain. But I wonder if you could talk about the advantages of this well-rounded route that you have taken to the CIO role.
It's amazing that a lot of people in companies, they'll do one particular task and not really realize what they do affects departments. So starting out in a small company, in a small international bank, I really learned all sides of what you do and how it affects what the next person's going to do. So it made me very process focused, so that I looked at things from an end-to-end process rather than just looking at the tasks that I was doing. So my start in IT was really more as a project manager. I was working for one of the largest in the world international banks. A company that I was working with was implementing a system, and they were struggling getting the system live. And since they knew I understood the business, they asked me if I could come in and help. So I was really like a project manager for my first job. And it just grew from there, so they just kept on giving me more projects, more departments, bigger and bigger areas, and before you knew it, I ended up as a corporate CIO.
Helen, in your present role as CIO of Lincoln Trust, you came to that position at a time, frankly, when the IT had a particularly contentious relationship with the rest of the organization, and you set about in the early stages of your journey with Lincoln Trust to fix that. I wonder if you could talk a bit about some of the processes and methods that you used in order to help burnish the reputation of IT and set the relationship between IT and the rest of the organization on a new path.
Well, actually, it all started when I interviewed. And I was interviewing with my peer on the business side. And I asked her what she thought of my IT team. And she quickly said, if I had control of them, I would fire them all. So I knew what I was getting myself into. It was really, an environment where there was no trust between the business and IT. Things were very unstable. Systems were going down. There were a lot of technical issues. So when I came in, I really had to go back to the basics. It's people, process, and planning, and really looked at that and realized that people were being rewarded for being firefighters. So, for example, if people worked all weekend, they would come in on Monday morning, and everyone would celebrate all the hard work they did. And I think that if you're going to reward firefighters, then you're going to get a lot of fires. So we really had to look at changing the culture, not only the IT department, but really the relationship in the whole company. And I pretty much believe that you cannot change culture. You can wait around for 100 years for the culture to change, or you can bring in a new culture. So one of the first things I did was really changed some of the team members. I brought some new people into the organization. I looked at the staff I had. They were working very hard, but they weren't working very smart. So a lot of times people were in the wrong roles. And what we really did is we set aside a team of people to work on what I would call quick wins and fixing things and actually looking at root causes. The problem was the same people who were doing development work were also the people who were supporting the business and putting out the fires. So, of course, everything was always late. Everything wasn't on time. So what the business was referring to was actually true. So we did is we put aside a few people just to focus on that. But that was actually getting the environment stable, because I think before you can even start thinking of anything, innovation projects, and you have to have a stable environment. But that comes without saying, that's your main responsibility. So after we had a stable environment, we started looking at how could we really get the business to trust us more. So we put together a team of people who were focused on quick wins. And what we did is we took IT staff, we had them sit within the departments themselves, just observe, and at the end of the week, they would come back with suggestions on how things could be done better. And a lot of times, these were things that might take 3 to 10 days to fix, but they're things that the business would never even ask us for, because they would always be told that there were too many other things on the priority list. So by tackling those things that really affected people on a day-to-day basis, it really started turning around the perception of the technology team and showing that we could actually deliver, and we could understand what their issues were, and we did understand their problems.
I know another thing that you focused on is ensuring that IT is a better marketer of its successes, recognizing that historically IT departments are not particularly good at this, that they often do good things that aren't necessarily seen by the rest of the organization because those successes aren't touted appropriately. Can you talk a bit about some of the ways in which you have done this and the ways in which this has been advantageous to the IT department, especially in this continuing progression of IT becoming more of this driver of value for the organization?
So myself and my senior team that I had, we really focused on what we call the marketing of IT, back to basics. You have product, price, place, and promotion. So under product, really understanding what the product was you were offering. Are we offering a product that the business even wants? What are we trying to do? We're really understanding what the issues were. This is going to be at a very high level. Price. Are we offering at a price they can afford? Because if you come up with solutions that the business can't afford to pay for those solutions, or it doesn't make sense, then that's not a good solution. And when you look at price, it made us think about the way we were doing things and changing the way we were doing things. We were a build versus buy. So we had to turn around the whole emphasis to buy versus build. We had to look at a cheaper way to do things. We looked at outsourcing partners. So just that one area of price really led to us being able to deliver things in a much cheaper way. Then down to place, are we offering things the correct way? Are we offering them to the departments that really need them? Are we offering the right information? We have different type users. Some users need high-level reports. We had the extreme. We had other users who really needed more data to be able to manipulate, which had us introduce complex cubes. And then promotion. I think it's very important that as we had these successes, that we celebrated the successes. We celebrated them internally. We didn't celebrate them as IT successes. They were a combination. So we didn't do anything that was an IT-sponsored project. We had a business sponsor for our projects. We celebrated those. And besides celebrating internally, we also looked for areas where we could promote what we did outside. So anytime we were earning awards, we would write up for them. We tried to get some recognition for the company. And once we started getting recognition for the company, you know, made everybody proud to be part of Lincoln Trust and to be part of the team. And again, that was both the business and IT.
Helen, I also wanted to talk to you about the fact that you are a board-level CIO. This is still, unfortunately, a rare phenomenon, although growing in terms of the number of CIOs who are on boards of their own company or outside boards, that is, boards of other companies. And I wonder if you can reflect a little bit on your journey to becoming a board member, as well as some of the things that you lend your company as an IT executive that sort of rounds out the perspectives of the board.
I mean, I'm on the board at Lincoln Trust because our CEO recognizes the importance of technology and really how it can enable both revenue generation and cost reductions. We also are a very close-knit executive team. So we work as partners on everything. So nothing is just specifically IT or just specifically a business unit. Everything's a joint project. I believe there should be more CIOs on boards. I think it's very important. Definitely it's a yes. I think IT is usually one of the larger expense items in a business. And with new technologies being introduced all the time, it's imperative for any business to ensure that their board understands that IT can really, and technology itself can be a very strong catalyst for innovation.
For those who have the goal of doing what you have done on the board and becoming a board-level CIO, you in some ways have some unique advantages in that you didn't grow up in IT. You had a more expansive view of the corporation. You refer to your department as business technology intentionally because the words there matter, and you want to focus on the fact that IT is a business discipline. A lot of IT leaders have not grown up in such environments. A lot of IT leaders have not had the wealth of experiences that you had outside of IT before becoming an IT executive. Do you have any thoughts, especially now that you're counseling other CIOs, as to what sorts of things they might do in order to increase the chances that they might become a board-level CIO?
Yeah, well, I think it's very important that you really have a passion for the business you're in. I mean, I just believe in general, if you do what you love, you're going to be successful. So it really helps if you get into an industry that you have a passion about so that you want to learn about it. So I think it's important that you understand the business, that you speak business terms, that you talk business value and not IT value. It's not important to report to an executive team their systems were up 99% of the time when somebody had a call from a customer saying they couldn't log into a system. So you really have to see what matters to the business and really speak that language.
You know, IT departments have traditionally had a problem in really speaking the same language as the rest of the organization and really separating itself because it doesn't necessarily think about the value it's creating in the same way that the rest of the company does. But really is in stark contrast to the way you've described things, Helen, the way in which you typify the value that IT can bring to the company, your understanding of the business operation, of marketing basics, of translating all that IT does into the true value of the organization. You also have a skill set that is much closer to that of the rest of the organization. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think what helped us a lot at Lincoln Trust is when we went through this BPM program, we actually brought in tools that allowed the business themselves to map out their processes. So when the business would come in to talk to their counterparts in IT, we had tools which really became common language between the two of us. A lot of times, if you map out the process and you looked at the process, some of the solutions weren't even technology solutions. So by putting the right tools in the hands of the business and allowing them to really control their processes themselves helped us out very much. Our BPM program was so successful because of the efficiencies it generated that our largest competitor actually purchased our technology, the staff, and the line of business that it supported. So Lincoln is now a leading provider of trust and custodial services with an open architecture for 401k plans. And the other important thing, I feel very strongly, only as successful as your team is, So I've been very proud to have a fantastic team, especially here in Denver and at Lincoln Trust. And if you have a good team and the team understands business, you can do amazing things.
Now that different parts of Lincoln Trust are being divested, you've had a bit more time to advise your fellow CIOs. I wonder, as you've had more of a chance to speak with them, I understand, of course, the specifics of those conversations are probably confidential, but what are your perspectives on the evolution of the role as you've gotten to know more of your peers, advising them in the capacity that you have?
Right now, I don't have day-to-day responsibility at Lincoln Trust, so I do just sit on the board. And that has allowed me, in my semi-retirement, to look at what I was going to do next. So I'm working on coaching and mentoring the next generation of leaders coming up. And one of the amazing things I find is problems are still the same. The questions that people come up with are, how do I deal with the business? How do I prioritize my projects? Why don't they understand me? How do I get funding? And I talk about a variety of things. I obviously talk about marketing the right team. I believe strongly in it. I talk about having good change management. I talk about showing business value instead of IT value. A lot of times it's just in the way IT departments report. So I always ask them, what are they reporting? Is what they report actionable? If it's not, then they probably shouldn't be reporting it. So trying to get them to talk into more business terms. It, of course, varies. I'm coaching some people in some very large organizations. So a lot of times in large organizations, having worked in many myself, it's a little harder to get direct contact with the outside customer or the external customer. So I teach them how to actually collaborate with each other and become a team. And not really think of themselves as IT people. You know, if I ask somebody what they do, they should tell me they're doing something their company does, not that they code or they're a database administrator.
Helen, I wanted to ask you about business trends as well, and technology trends. Are there any that you're particularly excited about that you're looking to advise IT leaders that you're in touch with to adopt or that you're thinking about adopting personally?
Yeah, well, obviously the big things that everybody talks about, cloud, mobile, that's very big. And a lot of companies are struggling with that. So I do talk to a lot of people about how to put applications in the cloud safely and trying to get them through really analyzing the risk and how to present that to their organization so they can get approval for some projects. But I certainly believe that that's the way in the future.
Helen Cousins, I really appreciate you taking the time with the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspective. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat is a catalyst in communities of customers, contributors, and partners creating better technology the open source way. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation at redhat.com today to learn more. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.